This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
All right, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. Happy New Year. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with me is TJ Inman, and we're here to talk all things IU football. A lot of things have happened since we last discussed, and we'll get to your mailbag. So we're going to start off with the mailbag. First of all, thanks for everybody for sending these questions in. I will go from, you know, the first question down to the last question. We'll try to answer them as best as possible. Also, if you need clarification or have other questions, please put them in the chat and we'll answer them to the best of our ability. We'll be here, try to keep it to an hour or under, and then everybody could get on with the rest of their lives. But TJ, welcome in. Happy New Year. How are you doing?
Yeah, Happy New Year, everybody. Definitely excited to talk about the major changes that have occurred with the IU football roster since the last time we talked. We knew this was coming. Not a surprise to see defections and additions, but I think so far, I think the portal window has gone better than even my optimistic expectations were. I think that there's a lot of things to be excited about. We've seen Kurt Cignetti said in the portal he wanted proven production, and that's exactly what his staff has gone out and focused on getting. So excited to talk about it. I think we got some really good questions that have come in. Hopefully some more come in during the show. We'll get those answered as well, but let's get rolling.
Yeah, let's go over the first question. You mentioned it, the transfer portal. This one is from Howard S. on Twitter. Did the transfer portal help or hurt us? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the answer is pretty clear here. Yes, I think it helped IU. Yeah, IU lost a lot of productive players that, you know, landed at Power 5 schools or, you know, guys who could have been key pieces. But you look at what's coming in, you get Curtis Rourke, who is the 2022 MAC Offensive Player of the Year quarterback. You get a couple ACC running backs. You get some speed at the receiver position. You bring in Elijah Surratt yesterday at that receiver position as well. You got defensive help and things like that. So right now, I think if the 247 ranking transfer portal rankings are correct, IU's class as of last night was sitting at fourth in the country, not fourth in the Big Ten, fourth in the country. And so I think it has helped more than it's hurt. Now, will they miss some players like a Zach Carpenter or Matt Bedford? Maybe, probably. Will they miss a Jalen Lucas if he decides to go elsewhere, which it looks like it's happening? Probably. But you're also bringing in a lot of good pieces who could replace those guys. What are your thoughts on that one, TJ?
I think it's a definite help when you look at it as kind of a balance sheet. You've got your subtractions and your additions. And I think the additions that IU has brought in have far outweighed the subtractions. Now, I do think that one thing that we don't know is which guys do we view as subtractions from last year's roster are now guys that this current coaching staff has decided, yeah, that's not a subtraction. We don't want that guy on our roster, for attitude reasons, talent reasons, whatever the case. We don't know that, and we're not going to drag anybody through the mud, even if we did. So just because a guy has left doesn't mean it's necessarily something that Kurt Cignetti's staff views as a subtraction, right? You look at the additions, and I would say that even if Carter Smith, Donovan McCauley, and Trent Howland had entered the portal, stayed in the portal, and gone somewhere else, even if those guys had, I would still view it as an overall upgrade on the roster. The fact that you brought back those key pieces, in addition to bringing in all the new guys that they have, which we'll get into talking about here shortly, I think it's a clear help overall. That doesn't mean there's not still some spots on the roster that need some attention and have some concern for us. But overall, I think you have to say that going into 2024, the roster is in a much better shape than it was at the end of 2023.
Yeah, and there's still work to be done on the roster, and it looks like they're continuing to add people. They just added Jaden McDonald, who's a linebacker out of Troy. Originally went to Iowa and transferred out. So they're still adding pieces, and I know there's a numbers question and all that stuff, but those things tend to work themselves out. And I think you'll see a weeding out process. Maybe somebody doesn't like his coach, Kirk Cignetti's coaching style. Maybe they just don't fit the schemes that they're running and stuff like that. You'll see people who get buried on the depth chart try and go someplace else for an opportunity. Let's get to other questions. This one comes from Jamie Jordan. So thank you, Jamie, for sending them in, and we'll hit all three of his questions. The first one is what are the position groups you're most happy with, and which are most concerning going into spring ball?
Okay, so I'll start with the most happy with. Now he gave us an out here because he said groups, so we're allowed to say multiple things. Wide receiver, I think has to be one that you're very happy with. This is the deepest Indiana wide receiver room that I can remember. And it's not just guys that you're hoping can turn into players, because, well, they've got some talent or he's got a good size or whatever. This is proven FBS and in some cases, Power Conference production that is both returning to Indiana and EJ Williams and Donovan McCauley, and is arriving at Indiana. And it was just further strengthened by the addition of Elijah Surratt, which, it becomes a question of, man, how are they going to get all these guys, targets? And that's a good problem to have. So wide receiver, I'm happy with quarterback. Curtis Rourke, I think, is a perfect bridge quarterback to the younger guys that you have on the roster: Taven Jackson, Tyler Cherry, Brock Lowry, Alberto Mendoza. I think it's a very good group of. Taven Jackson has some experience, but still a lot of untapped potential to be developed by this new coaching staff. And then Curtis Rourke, ton of experience, and I think he feels, and the coaching staff feels like, a very good fit for this system. I'm pretty happy with running back. I don't know if there's any like top-end talent at the position, but I think that this coaching staff has gotten some guys that they trust into the room. You bring back Trent Howland, which I'm pleased with. I really like big physical running backs, which it seems like he had finally tapped into that side of his game. And then one that I think will get overlooked, I'm happy with punter. Bringing back James Evans, proven weapon as a punter. Most concerned with for me, I go on the defensive side of the ball, the defensive line, particularly depth at that position. Right now you're an injury or two away from feeling really shaky with that group, and then safety, same thing. I think you need a bit more depth now. Was that my timing
It
is
was
getting mixed
yesterday.
up? Was it last night or yeah? You bring in two safeties from Old Dominion, both very experienced, proven production. Again, there's that theme that helps quite a bit. But that's a group that, I think you could use another body there that can give you some snaps.
Yeah, the to go back to what I'm most pleased about in the transfer portal is definitely the wide receiver room as well. You bring in some speed, which you needed in the Texas Tech transfer with Miles Price and the guy from Wake Forest, Keyshawn Williams. So you add some speed there. Price is very good at kickoffs as well, and he kind of maybe upgraded on Jalen Lucas. Instead of a guy who could just return kicks, you have a guy who you could throw in the slot. To me, if anybody watched the Under the Hood with Rhett Lewis, it sounds like Indiana will be running out of 10 personnel, which means that they'll have two slot receivers on the field. You will be playing with, three or four wide receivers on the field. Usually at all times, you should get enough targets for all of these guys. To me, the most concerning is the defensive line. It's depth in the middle of defensive tackle. Yes, you bring back Philip Bleedy, and you get James Carpenter, who's a nice piece.
Burris.
Burris is back and stuff like that. But if you could get another body or two who could play and be your second or third guy off the bench at that position and be productive, that could take your defensive line to the next level. Safety, we'll see. And this to me is where I'm intrigued by spring ball is, are there going to be position changes? You've seen in the past, where's Amari Farrell going to play? Is he going to stay at safety? Are they going to move him up to linebacker? A guy like Cooper Jones, who's was a highly rated recruit on the defensive line, got switched last year to the offensive line. Did they put him back on defense and stuff like that? So again, there's a lot of bodies and a lot of players going into spring ball, and that's what I'm intrigued about. Jamie, second question. It's a two-parter. Who's your favorite high school commit? And I believe, he should have made a caveat of not Tyler Cherry, because I believe that's going to be our answer. And then who's your favorite transfer?
Yeah, so my favorite high school commit will not be a surprise for anybody in the Hoosier Huddle group chat. Quentin Clark, linebacker from Georgia. I really like the sideline to sideline ability that he showed on his highlight film. Athletic linebacker, played a good quality of competition in Georgia, produced doing so. And I feel like he has the ideal traits that you look for in a linebacker. The name that he reminds me of, and this is not a fair comparison because, it puts unfair expectations on a high school player that hasn't proven anything in college, but this is what we do. Comparisons are part of the game. Cam Jones, I think he could turn into a player with good development, and staying healthy, could turn into a player like Cam Jones on the defense. And I do think, given what IU brings back a linebacker, I think there's a chance Cam Jones plays relatively early in his career.
I mean, Quentin Clark.
Sorry, Quentin Clark. Yes. And Cam
Oh,
Jones did play easy. Yeah. So,
Yeah,
Quinn Clark.
hopefully people mess him up and say,
That's
oh,
right.
that just reminded me of Cam Jones.
Yeah, he won't have quite as cool of a nickname as C4 did, but what can you do?
And who's your favorite transfer portal guy?
Transfer portal guy, Curtis Rourke is the obvious answer. One, he came on the podcast with you, so he gets, I don't know, 100 bonus points for that. It's the points don't matter, but he gets 100 of them. He's quarterback, so obviously really important. But the one name, as soon as IU hired Kurt Cignetti, the first guy that I looked up, and because I'd seen him play some, and the first guy that I looked up and was hoping that Indiana would eventually be able to land Elijah Surratt, is my favorite transfer. I really like the way that he plays at wide receiver, catches everything that's thrown in his direction, runs really good routes. He's not, blazingly fast, but he can get the job done on the outside or in the slot. Versatile receiver that is going to know this system. And I think you pair him with, Miles Price, EJ Williams, Donovan McCauley, Miles Cross, Keyshawn Williams, Omar Cooper, any combination of those guys out there, it's going to be a handful for defenses. So I'm going to go with Surratt. It's my favorite transfer as I set aside the quarterback.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the two quarterbacks, and it might bleed into Jamie's third question, which is who's the most important
Yeah.
on each of those. Let's start with the high school commit. I think Tyler Cherry, not only is he the highest rated commit in the class, you're in state, and you're building a foundation for the future. He has a rocket arm. He'll need some development, and this is where the transfer Curtis Rourke comes in. Indiana, the last couple of years, needed that veteran quarterback to come in and stabilize that room and just give them a chance offensively. They tried to do it with Connor Bazelak. It wasn't a great fit. It didn't really work.
Right.
Last year, you go into the year with two redshirt freshmen in Taven and Brandon Sorsby, who had very little to no experience at quarterback. Now you're bringing in a guy who has played a ton of football, a ton of good football, and has won some games against Power Five teams at that Group of Five level, who can be that, and you talked about it, be that bridge to either Taven Jackson in 2025. And if Tyler Cherry develops quickly, maybe a Tyler Cherry in 2025. But I think if you're an Indiana fan and you're looking at a reasonable target date for a Tyler Cherry, breakout season, 2026. You're a redshirt sophomore, you've been in the program a couple of years,
Right.
and things like that. So to me, those are my favorite, but they're also, I think, the most important piece of that.
Yeah. And not only the importance of Tyler Cherry as a player, but a very publicly known player in the state of Indiana, four-star quarterback at a very successful program, Center Grove. The previous staff never really gained traction with him, and IU gets a little fortunate in that Mike Elko leaves Duke, opens the door for Tyler Cherry to look elsewhere, and right away, he clicks and sees the potential of Kurt Cignetti, Mike Shanahan, Tino Sunseri, and they're able to get him to not flip, like see it decommitted, but to essentially change from Duke to Indiana, beating out conference foe Michigan State, for
Yeah,
that
he's
commitment. So
also an
just,
IU legacy. I believe his dad played football. His grandfather played football. It was on the Packers, I believe. And then his uncle played baseball. I have to go into the family history a little deeper, but there is a lot of Cherry family history at IU.
Just from a perception standpoint, that was a big get.
That was plus, you know how many NIL opportunities you're going to have with cherry bomb t-shirts or sweatshirts, or on 4th of July, we're going to have hopefully not him setting off fireworks, but the Tyler Cherry cherry bomb. Hoosiers for good, Hoosiers Connect. It's just email me, I'll send you my ideas. And you can put the check in the mail. So
And
next
well,
question.
I'm going to throw my most important in here quickly.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think Tyler Cherry is the answer. However, Evan Lawrence, I believe, is a future starting left tackle. I think he has the athleticism and the size that you look for as traits to develop. You look long-term roster construction, which is very hard to do right now in the transfer portal era.
Yep.
But after Carter Smith, ideally, you're looking at Carter Smith turning into a, NFL caliber left tackle. And I can see Evan Lawrence being that next guy. That's a position that's really hard to get out of the transfer portal. It's why it was such a huge deal to get Carter Smith back. Those guys are not cheap if they're any good at all. And to be able to keep Evan Lawrence committed, he got a big bump up in his recruit rating, which doesn't necessarily mean anything, but I think that recruiting analysts see the same thing that the IU coaches did. That's a guy with a lot of tools that you can mold into a really good offensive lineman. That was an important one for me, just because of what I think it could become in the future. And that's a very valuable position to have.
Yeah, speaking of the future, TJ, Bronson Hayes, thank you for the question. Know it's early, but what are you looking for with the class of 2025 winter and spring visitors? And I really haven't looked at the 2025 class yet, but I could tell you what, if I was coaching, what I would look for in terms of needs. You're going to have a lot of turnover again. You bring in a lot of seniors and a lot of veteran players from the transfer portal. So you want to build your high school class and start balancing out the roster a little bit. Now it's tricky because the transfer portal and things like that, but you want it to be balanced where you're not bringing in a million transfers every single year and that you're using transfers to plug holes. So to me, you're looking for guys who have speed, Big Ten speed, and Big Ten size and things like that. So it's more of, hey, this is the type of guy than the actual guy we're looking at.
I just in generalities, any one specific recruit, I don't have a clue at this stage, but in generalities, I hope you're bringing in visitors that are being pursued by high-end programs. Doesn't mean you're going to get all of them, or even very many of them, but to be able to get those guys on campus, ones that are wanted by high-end programs that you're competing against, I think that's a big deal. And then you mentioned it, speed, being able to get team speed at those positions like wide receiver, defensive back, linebacker, and then be able to bring in some impact defensive linemen. That's something that is difficult to find. They're hard to get, it's but they're really important, particularly pass rushers. Find some guys that have either already proven to be impactful pass rushers, or that you have the tools to develop into impactful pass rushers. That's what I'd be looking for, and not just this coming class, but every class, as you're looking for those lineman positions and team speed.
TJ, let's get to some comment questions, and I think we know the answer here. On a scale of 1 to 10, what's our current excitement level for the roster where it currently stands?
Assuming that 10 is like you're so excited you're gonna, I don't know, book tickets for the college football playoff or something. I'm gonna say like a 8. we mentioned some of the areas of concern. If there were no concerns, I'd have it at a 10. But for the roster, like an 8. For the program, a 10. I'm, as fired up about Indiana football as I can remember being, and that's a credit to, Kurt Cignetti and his coaching staff.
Yeah, I'd say I'm right around there, 7.5, 8. There's still roster pieces that need to put together.
Right.
Not saying that if I'm at a 10 that they're going to go to the college football playoff, but I'm at the point where it's, hey, let's maybe not make holiday travel plans next year.
Yeah, we'll get
Or
into expect maybe now's a good time to tackle that expectations question.
yeah, there are a couple of them. So, the first one came from Hoosier Man. Realistic expectations for Sig and company through the first 7 games. Also, he asked if it's Camels, Marlboros, or Newports. We do not endorse smoking, so we will go with your favorite candy cigarette brand, which I don't even know if they make them anymore.
So
We don't
first seven
endorse
games.
first 7 games.
Okay.
Which is not
That'd be through Nebraska,
through,
October 19th against Nebraska. Okay. All right. So that's FIU, Western Illinois, at UCLA, Charlotte, Maryland, at Northwestern, and Nebraska. We'll break that down into non-conference. The expectation is 3-0. Those three non-conference teams will, of course, have our opponent previews and all that. And hey, one off season can change a whole lot of things. IU is hoping to be, exhibit A for that. But what we know is that those three teams went 4-8. 0-11, Western Illinois was one of the worst teams in the country, period. They were truly dreadful. And then 3-9, that's a combined 7-28 in 2023. In other words, perfect non-conference schedule for Indiana. Really. Three home games against opponents that you should be able to handle. Perfect. So 3-0. And then your Big Ten opponents during that time at UCLA, Maryland, at Northwestern, and Nebraska. I think that the hope for that stretch is 2-2. I don't know if I would expect that. That's always tricky. But I would hope to be able to beat Maryland at home. Maryland. Just like everybody else, roster in transition, don't know what they're going to look like yet. We do know Taulia Tagovailoa will not be their quarterback. There's that. Northwestern, technically a road game, appears it's going to be on a neutral field. Not sure where yet, but that's
Haven't confirmed that it won't be at Ryan Field either, but
okay.
that's the rumor I have from people in Chicago is that the Ryan Field renovations are going to start. Nothing's been announced. I thought they had put it on hold, but either way, it's Northwestern. If IU's good, a lot of IU fans will show up at Ryan Field. It's not a huge home field advantage for Northwestern. It's kind of a sleepy. It's the opposite of a home field advantage. Home field advantage. It's
Yeah.
they'll lull you to sleep and then kick your butt. But yeah, Northwestern's coming off a magical season where they won 8 games. And if you remember TJ, they were underdog to UTEP at home in September, and they went on to beat Utah in the Vegas Bowl. But we'll see. They lose. I believe they lose their quarterback too. And
Yes.
Ben Bryant, and we'll see if they can recapture that magic. But that should be one of those toss-up games that Indiana has not had luck with over the last couple of years. But with the upgrade in the coaching staff, maybe they get that one.
Right. Yeah. And Nebraska at home, who knows? Honestly,
I mean, I think
But
a lot of that would
it's
depend on
winnable.
how IU does during those first six games.
Yeah,
If you're
it's
sitting
winnable.
there at 5-1 or 4-2, going into that game, you're going to have a big crowd, and a loud crowd, and people will be fired up.
It's
If you're
coming off a
only,
bye week.
yeah, it's coming off a bye week. It probably, knowing IU and how they schedule, that's probably the homecoming game.
Yeah.
It's usually that week, so it'll be homecoming. Now Nebraska travels well too, and we'll see what their roster looks like. If you could get out of that with four wins, if you go 4-3, I think you feel okay.
Right.
If you could go 5-2, you feel great. If you're sitting at 6-1, you're over the moon.
You're building statues.
Yes.
Yep. So, expectation, I think you would set the baseline at 4-3 after 7 games. And anything less than that, you'd feel disappointed.
Yes. And then, I mean, for the season, it's what is a from William Fulmer, it's what is a reasonable expectation for next season,
Right.
win
Yeah. And
loss record.
we're not in the business of telling people what to think. I mean, if you want to get your hopes, super high, go for it. Nothing wrong with that. But if we're couching it with realistic and expectation, not just like hope, for me it's a bowl game. I think that is it would be an accomplishment to reach a bowl game after what you went through the previous couple of seasons.
Yeah, it'd arguably be the best start to a head coach's tenure at IU in its history for football.
I think given what we currently know about the roster, which again is going to change, but given what we currently know about the roster and what we know about the schedule, which is not easy, but it's not brutal either, at least right now on paper, all these teams are going to change. But given what we know, I think that a 6-6 regular season is a reasonable expectation and hope for 2024, and it would really give you something to build on.
Yeah, I go with that 6-6, especially if you could get those wins early, the back end of that schedule. Since we didn't get to talk about it, really, the back end is Washington at home, at Michigan State, Michigan at home, at Ohio State, and Purdue at home. So no matter what, IU is guaranteed to host the defending national champion from 2024, although it could be vacated, but I don't think it'll be vacated by next year.
Not
If
that quick.
Michigan wins, I'd be shocked if it's vacated that quickly. But every team is going to look different from this point on, and it's gotten increasingly more difficult to preview what it's going to look like in August and football season before spring practice. So I think, yeah, reasonable expectation is 6-6. Am I going to be terribly upset if they go 5-7? No. Am I going to be upset if they go 4-8? It might be a little bit worrying if you start trending in that direction.
Yeah,
But
that depends on what it looks like, right?
yeah.
That's a
I mean,
couple of heartbreaking
it's.
close losses. That's going to be different than being non-competitive, against Maryland and Northwestern. And yeah, that's I think that with all the positive momentum and goodwill that you have right now, the big need is getting off to a fast start.
Yep,
That's,
you gotta get off to a fast start because, and we've seen it, and I know IU fans are kind of mad at me over what I wrote the last couple of days, which is fine. Everybody's entitled to their opinion, and things like that. But when if they don't win early, the goodwill goes away very quickly, and we saw that with Tom Allen, and we've seen that with other coaches, including Kevin Wilson. And things like that. And that was more of a, they had more patience with Wilson, I think,
before, people just weren't on Twitter as much, but you saw it in 2014 and early in 2015 when they were down to, 4-6 or whatever, and almost losing to Southern Illinois. People will turn on you quickly. So yeah, getting off to a fast start, but yes, a postseason berth. And we don't know what bowl season is going to look like next year either. With the 12 team playoff and stuff like that, you assume with the ratings that the bowls have done that the bowls are not going anywhere. But we'll see. So, the hope is, hey, get to the postseason, break that bowl losing streak and start. That's how you build the program. That's another building block to do that. And I think I think IU has figured it out that it's not a single game, a single win, or even a single season that makes or breaks the program. But you've got to start stacking things and stacking good days and good months and building off of them that momentum. If you go 6-6 and win a bowl game, that's just another building block in that foundation to move forward. So let's get on to some of the, I don't want to call them less serious questions, but more fun questions, TJ. From Sig and Company, is it possible that the Bison makes an appearance in 2024?
Yes, it's possible. It is not likely. I personally would love for the Bison in some form to become a part of the branding of the football program. I think it'd be really cool. There's a lot of really fun things you could do with it. We've seen user-generated stuff, AI-generated stuff that is it's fun. I mean, how cool would it be? And this is not happening, but how cool would it be to have a large bison, charging out with the team, out of Memorial Stadium tunnel? That would be really fun. It'd be cool. Is it riffing on Colorado? And would IU get made fun of for it? Sure. Does it matter? No. It would be a lot of fun, or some type of appearance on an alternative uniform. Again, not going to happen, but it'd be fun. But what I do think is possible to see is that some social media stuff, maybe IU uses the Bison on some social media stuff. I think that's very possible. If I were setting odds on anything more than that, it'd be like plus 5,000 or something. It's I don't see any radical moves like that by IU's athletic department, but
Is IU going to roll out a giant toaster and have a bison jump out of it? Probably not. That's not going to happen. However,
shame.
and this is going to make Hooperazzi really mad in the comment section, IU needs a mascot. And I think the bison's the perfect mascot. And not only, yeah, it's silly, it might be silly to adults, but guess what? You have kid fans too, and kids go wild over the mascot. They want the stuffed animal. They want the shirt with the bison on it. They want pictures with it. There are not many teams without a mascot. I guess Michigan doesn't have one, but whatever. They're Michigan. But it's just another marketing tool where you could, in a time when you need to generate revenue, can generate revenue and drive up excitement and get people fired up. Did they incorporate it into the intro video? I hope so. Those videos were really awesome during the Kevin Wilson era. Should they put it on a t-shirt? Yes. If they do it correctly with a furry mascot, not a live mascot, it could work really well. Now, if it's like the old 60s mascot where it's kind of creepy looking, but everything in the 60s was kind of creepy looking, yeah, pass. But I think that the opportunities here, even the coaches were putting it out, the opportunity here is, hey, we can make this a thing. Let's bring it back.
Get a giant Muppet bison out there. Speaking of revenue streams, though, there was a question about naming rights deal for Memorial Stadium.
I don't know if I spoke this into existence, because I've been saying this for a couple of years now.
Yes, you have.
They're not going to rename Memorial Stadium. I just don't think you could do that, but you could rename the field. Since it is a war memorial stadium, there's you gotta honor history and things like that. But the field, you could definitely sell the naming rights to the field, and whatever you could get for it is just another, it's like icing on the cake. It's bonus money, and stuff like that. And it was the same type of stuff when they rolled out the suites this year. If you can make a quarter million or something a year on that, that's money, it's found money you didn't have. Now, who will do it? Will it be Mellencamp Field at Memorial Stadium? Do they honor Bill Mallory and make it Mallory Field at Memorial Stadium? Something like that, or whatever. Purdue Stadium, it's Bob Roorman Field or Roorman Field. Even Ohio State, it's like Safelite Field at Ohio Stadium. Everybody does this. So it's another opportunity to increase revenue. Do I think it's coming down the pipeline? I'm not 100% sure. I really haven't heard anything official on it, but it is something that needs to, I think, be explored, especially the way college athletics and college football is going. And more on the revenue, there's another question. When do you think Scott Dolson will announce a Memorial Stadium project?
I don't have any inside information on this, but just based on rumor that and buzz that was talked about even prior to Tom Allen being fired, I mean we kind of think that there might be plans discussed in place, whatever. I guess the timeline that I will guess at is that something is announced prior or during the 2024 season, and that work on whatever that's going to be begins right after the last home game of 2024, which would be November 30th. With the hosting of the bucket game. That would be just a speculation guess on a rough timeline for whatever projects it is that they're going to do. Whether that's, upgrade press box, concourses, restrooms, whatever. I think that anything occurring actual project wise for the 2024 season is not going to happen, but you might see something announced, to just continue that positive momentum about building the program and being serious about the program, and then work beginning after the season ends, maybe.
Yeah, there have been rumors for a couple seasons now that their plans, there might be plans, they're waiting for a coaching change. I think with the with the momentum of the program right now, and it used to be that they would announce all these upgrades in August, and the AD would talk to the media, and they would go over all this stuff. Nothing's going to happen. Like 2024, you're not going to see a new press box. And it'll probably, like you said, if any projects are going to be started or announced, it'll be after the season. But I do think, if you want to continue the ride on momentum, show people a vision. And I don't know what steps they are at in, bidding for construction, if there is bids going out and stuff like that, if they're looking at plans and things like that. But once a plan gets finalized, if there is a plan, I would pitch every single part of that vision. Hey, here are the blueprints, here are the mock-ups,
this is who we're going with, this is who we're it's what it's going to look like. Here's the timeline of construction and things like that. And I think that would fire up the fan base as well. But yeah, right now I don't think anything's I'll believe it when it happens.
Right.
Just like, Tom Allen, the change from Tom Allen, I'll believe it when it happens. So I will believe that changes are coming when they are announced. I have not heard anything otherwise, other than that, in some back hallway, somebody's saying something about projects.
Yep. As we move back to the kind of the field, if you will, somebody, and you can give whoever this is credit. Overall, will the offensive line improve versus 2023? So we can't project injuries. So, with that part of it's an unknown, obviously, but let's compare 2023 to what we expect 2024's line to be. Carter Smith at left tackle, you would expect an improved version of Carter Smith in 2024. Another year working with Bob Bostad, another year of physical development, another year of experience, you'd expect an improvement. Mike Kadick, again, another year of experience, another year of working with Bob Bostad, he's back as well. So that's two starters that you would expect would improve their level of play at least a little bit from year to year. After that, you're comparing the whoever's going to be starting to what you had in Zach Carpenter, Matt Bedford, and Khalil Benson. Are you upgrading on those three guys? I think that at center, kind of seems like that's going to be Mike Kadick. Might not be the case. It might be Tyler Stevens at center. Or maybe Bray Lynch steps up and beats those guys out. Who knows? But you are going to have a different center. Zach Carpenter gone, and then the right side of your line is going to be different. I think Trey Wettig is going to start, and Nick Kidwell, if he is healthy, is going to start. So how do those guys compare to Bedford, Benson, and Carpenter? I would be lying to you if I told you that I could adequately compare them. I think that I will just take the average and say that Wettig is an upgrade. Stevens and Kidwell, maybe a minor downgrade to a wash on those guys. I just don't have a way of knowing, but
But they could be upgrades over
they could be.
the depth guys too. Like Josh Sales, you'd
Exactly.
probably
That's the
take,
big difference.
yeah, you'll probably take Tyler Stevens, who could play all over the offensive line, at guard and tackle, and he did that for JMU this year. He is probably an upgrade over a backup tackle that you had last year. So you not only improve some of the starters, you improve the depth as well.
Austin Barrett, who they really think highly of. Bray Lynch will be another year older.
Max Longman is hopefully healthy.
Max Longman, another versatile piece that you could play, either of the guard positions, ideally. It's probably where he would slot in. So I think you have a deeper line, and I think on the whole, another off season of development under Bob Bostad, plus an offensive system with coaches that I, quite frankly, trust more than the previous offensive staff to maximize what this offensive line can do well. So I would say it would be an improved offensive line just based on the coaching staff being able to maximize the strengths that the offensive line is going to have. Now, one question that's not going to be able to be answered until they're on the field, how do they mesh as a unit? When you're going to be playing possibly, three new offensive linemen to your program in Wettig, Stevens, and Kidwell, how do those guys all mesh together with the remaining pieces that you have? Because the offensive line, it's not just one guy, there's my guy that I'm blocking, and that's all I have to worry about. You're working as a unit. And the blocking concepts are going to be different. The offensive concepts are going to be different. How does everybody understand that and mesh together? And we're not going to know until they're, firing live bullets against opposition. So
Yeah, and that's, I also think we talk about the non-conference scheduling. Usually, we've talked a lot about scheduling 3 wins, but if you could get up big on these guys, that's how you develop depth, is you
yeah.
could go put some of these second and third teamers in and get them to gel together, get them experience in a college game and things like that. So, games against FIU, Western Illinois, and Charlotte, IU should out talent all of these teams to where you could give reps to those guys to build depth, which I thought the previous staff did a lackluster job at. And you saw it kind of bite them, really bite them in the rear end later in their tenure when you're running out their guys who haven't played before and things like that just to preserve a red shirt or something like that. So it's that meshing, we'll see what happens in spring practice. But yeah, up until that FIU game on August 31st, that then you'll see, when the bullets start flying, who's ready to go.
Yep. The last one that I, there might have been two that I was still aware of, remaining positions of need, kind of, in the portal, with it says future portal windows, but we can lump in, the current one as well. And then the remaining outgoing transfers where we think they might be headed. I'll knock out the, knock out the first question. I kind of feel like we mentioned it. Defensive line, improving, just getting more, maybe another edge rusher, maybe another big body that can play on the interior of the defensive line. And then for me, I would not mind seeing another, there's a safety, coming in. I had linebacker listed, but they got a commitment from another linebacker from Troy. So that kind of takes it off the list for me. I think they've adequately addressed that position. So safety and then defensive line. And then where do we think the remaining transfers are going to go? The outgoing ones, I have no idea. The second part of that question was, are they going to have scholarships? Not at IU, they're not.
That's a
When
risk
you
that they take going into the
Enter the
portal.
portal, you forfeit your right to a scholarship. The school that you are transferring from can take you back, as we've seen with a couple of guys here. They don't have to. You forfeit that roster spot and that right to a scholarship when you enter the transfer portal. I'm not even sure who all we're talking about here. I think Jalen Lucas, trending towards Penn State, it seems like. It seemed like Louisville was the choice, but they've gotten some other additions, and Penn State is currently projected as his destination for
Makes
whatever
sense
that's worth.
with Tom Allen there. That makes sense.
Yep, his market has not been what he thought it was going to be.
Nope. I mean, we
No
could have told you
further,
that.
no
That
further
that's
comment there, I
yeah,
suppose,
that's
but
a discussion for another podcast, TJ, is the danger of entering the portal, who you're listening to, and things like that. Because
being
a guy like
honest about your value.
Yeah, because if Jalen Lucas had went into the portal after the 2022 season, his value is probably at its highest. And he came back to IU. They tried to make him a feature part of the offense, and he showed that he might just be a really, really good kick returner.
Yeah, a man without an offensive position.
Yeah, which.
He's just not. He needs to be a slot receiver, and he's not a good route runner, and he doesn't really catch the ball that well.
Yeah. So I thought
So
he
yeah.
lost his value there in terms of, he's a kick returner. And you could find fast guys who could return kicks for a lot cheaper than he was probably looking for.
Yeah. Who else we got? A Cam Camper. Of course, injuries are the primary thing holding back probably interest level on him. No clue what his market looks like. I don't have any idea. Jordan Greer, I think, is still out there. Is that accurate?
Memphis.
Okay. Yeah, so there's not a whole lot left outgoing wise that are still out there looking for spots. Still, if we're talking about Jalen Lucas and Cam Camper, will they have scholarships?
Probably.
Yes. Like Jalen Lucas is going to have a scholarship at a Power Five conference program. Cam Camper, I don't know if it'll be Power Five level. I don't know. If he can prove to coaches that he's currently healthy or will be healthy by the time the season starts, I would think that a group of five conference team would look at what he could potentially do and, use a spot on him, give him a scholarship. I certainly
Yeah,
hope
he's
so.
a low risk, high reward
Yeah.
type of guy. You start talking about things like it's free agency signings, and that's essentially what it has become.
Yeah.
But Cam Camper's like that pitcher who, has shown flashes of being really good, suffered an arm injury or two, and you just take a flyer on him and hope he gets back to form because he's really, really good when he's playing
And he
well.
throws like 80 innings a year.
Yeah.
And yeah. Hopefully, I mean, look, I really hope that it works out for Jalen Lucas, for Cam Camper, for, everybody. I mean, we have no reason to root against them. But I think for the most part, and I'm not saying this across the board, but for the most part, I think that Kurt Cignetti and his staff got the guys back from the portal that they wanted. And they're bringing in guys that they feel more comfortable with to improve the roster moving forward. So we'll see. I'm not aware of any other questions if you are, but that was an awesome hour. I hope people enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was great talking IU football, getting to interact with the fans. I know 4 o'clock on a Friday is not the ideal time to do a live show, but we've had some good interactions on the podcast and the chat. So, thank you all for joining us, and things like that.
Yeah, we'll
So,
certainly do it again for spring ball or something like that, pre-spring or post-spring, whatever. Yeah.
yeah. And you could always catch a replay of the podcast on, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon. I learned that you could listen to us on Amazon this week too. Hit the like button. Appreciate the comments and things like that. So a lot to be excited about IU football going into spring practice. Not really an off season anymore with all these transfer portal announcements and things like that. There could be more coming up in the next couple days, but we will see, and we'll be back before you know it with spring football previews and things like that. You can follow us on Twitter at Hoosier underscore huddle and keep coming back to HoosierHuddle.com. Thank you, TJ.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We appreciate it.